And she said, oh, Tanae, I can't do it. I have to work. Oh. And you won't believe how that broke my heart. And I asked some of my aunts and they were like, no, I have to work. So I asked my grandma. And she said, sweetheart, I have to work. And I began to cry. I said, all the kids are going to have their parents come and see them. And nobody wants to come and see me. So my grandma said, why are you crying? She said, listen, I'm not going to make any promises to you, but I will try my best to come. And the day of the play, when we were starting to go on stage, my heart was beating. And I saw my grandmother at the top of the auditorium and everybody cleared out. And people were just coming up to her. Is that your daughter? She has a beautiful voice. She can really sing. Oh, wow. Where did that little child learn how to sing? And she said, no, it's my granddaughter, all this stuff. So she comes up to me. She goes, Tanae, I didn't know you know how to sing.
Oh.
And I said, yeah. So she said, okay. She said, I have to go back to work, but that was a pretty nice performance. Okay, I'll see you later. The next thing I knew, when school was over and I walked out of that building, there was my mother standing up in front. And I said, Mom, what you doing here? She said, listen, your grandma wants us to get dressed and go to her house. Man, as soon as we went to her house, my grandma had the whole family there and they were all planning my future as a singer.
Wow.
And she sat me down and she said, let me tell you something, little girl. You were born to entertain. You're a singer. I need you to understand that. You were born to be a singer. And cool. That day, I felt scared. Because
you were 6 years old.
One minute, no one wanted to come to see me perform. And then all of a sudden, one person came to see me perform. And now the whole family is deciding and planning my future.
You as a kid, you know, in the whole growing up phase, how was your life as a kid?
As a child, growing up, I grew up with my mom. I was raised by my mother. Mm-hmm. My mother is from South America. She's a foreigner. Okay. I had a pretty happy childhood. You know, my mom's mom, my grandmother, she was a doctor. She treated me very well. I knew about who I was and that I was a musician because I just loved music. My mother played music every weekend in the house, nonstop on the radio. We lived next to a record store.
Wow.
So any songs that were coming out, the brand new, I hear them right away because the record.
What year are we talking about? What year? What decade and year are we talking about here? Like, huh? What year are we talking about?
We're talking about the late 80s.
Late 80s. Okay, great. That was a time when music was booming up, like record labels, music, CDs, cassettes, I guess. Right?
Right. Okay. And I used to dance in the living room with my mom. She'd be cleaning up and she'd be dancing in the living room. Then if I went to my grandma's house, my aunts would be dancing and I would dance with them in the living room or whatever. And music was just all around me. And one day I just started entertaining in the living room and it caught my grandma's eye. And she said, wait a minute, something different about this child. So I just used to do that all the time. I used to entertain my mom, entertain my grandma. And then one day my school had a play. And I don't know how the teacher knew, but, you know, she said that she's going to have a lead part in the play. And she said, no, I want Tanae to have the lead part. And wow. I was stunned. I was, you know, because I was just the little chubby girl who used to suck her thumb that nobody really played with. Nobody really cared about me. Yeah. That's the way I feel, except for my mom. And then all of a sudden, the teacher says she has a beautiful voice. And I'm like, how does she know this? Anyway, the play happens and, you know, they send the kids home and let them know they must tell their parents so that the parents can come and see them in the play. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you right now, I told my mom, listen, I'm going to be in a play. I'm going to sing and I want you to come to see me. And she said, oh, Tanae, I can't do it. I have to work. Oh. And you won't believe how that broke my heart. And I asked some of my aunts and they were like, no, I have to work. So I asked my grandma and she said, sweetheart, I have to work. And I began to cry. I said, all the kids are going to have their parents come and see them. And nobody wants to come and see me. So my grandma said, why are you crying? She said, listen, I'm not going to make any promises to you, but I will try my best to come. And the day of the play, when we were starting to go on stage, my heart was beating. And I walked to that
stage. You were nervous.
Yes, I was so nervous. And I walked towards that stage. And as I walked to that stage, I passed my grandma hiding in the audience.
Oh God.
She was hiding. Yeah.
She's your biggest fan.
Yes. And then I got on the stage and I did my solo. I started singing and I got a standing ovation. The teacher gave me a flowers.
Really?
Yes.
Standing ovation. You know us. Like five minutes before. God, that's great.
I was 6 years old.
Oh, first grade, I guess.
Yeah. And when the play was over, the principal bought us cake and ice cream, you know, for afterwards. And I saw my grandmother at the top of the auditorium and everybody cleared out and people were just coming up to her. Is that your daughter? She has a beautiful voice. She can really sing. Ooh, wow. Where did that little child learn how to sing? And she said, no, it's my granddaughter, all this stuff. So she comes up to me. She goes, Tanae, I didn't know how to sing.
Oh.
And I said, yeah. So she said, okay. She said, I have to go back to work, but that was a pretty nice performance. Okay, I'll see you later. The next thing I knew, when school was over and I walked out of that building, there was my mother standing up in front.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mom, what you doing here? She said, listen, your grandma wants us to get dressed and go to her house. Man, as soon as we went to her house, my grandma had the whole family there and they were all planning my future as a singer.
Wow.
And she sat me down and she said, let me tell you something, little girl. You were born to entertain. You're a singer. I need you to understand that. You were born to be a singer.
Mm.
And good. That day, I felt scared. Because
you were 6 years old.
1 minute, no one wanted to come to see me perform. Oh, and then all of a sudden, one person came to see me perform. And now the whole family is deciding and planning my future.
Yeah. That's really good to hear. I 6 years, nervous, 5 minutes before on stage, you rock the world. Your grandmother, biggest fan. Then she plans. This whole thing is really good. And this happened to you at 6 years of age. This is really, really best thing that to happen you in your life as an artist. And I love the story. Like, this is a dream story of any artist. Any artist would like to have. They would want this kind of thing to happen. You know, the first thing in a life of artist is not getting support from the family, from anyone there. You got great support. You know, your grandmother supporting you, planning things for you. That's really, really nice to hear. So here's the thing. Now I'm curious about the thought. At 6 years old, people were big fans of you. Like, the whole crowd was crazy about you. Did you go take training about music, or you just kept on doing it by yourself? How was that training period, or were you involved in any kind of training in coming years, or just went by yourself?
In the coming years after that, my grandma got sick from cancer.
Oh.
So I told her, I said, listen, I don't want to sing anymore. She said, why not? I said, I feel scared because nobody cared about me, or at least she said, don't say no one cared about you. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, all of a sudden all the attention is on me to sing and I feel pressured. And she got so angry and she said, you better do this. You better sing. She said, you don't know what God gave you. You don't know who you are. You need to, this is what you're supposed to do. And she said, if you don't do it, I will never talk to you again. And from that day on, I pursued it. We tried to contact my dad. He did not want to help. But later on in my life, when I became an adult and he saw that I was trying, he did, you know, step up to the plate and gave me like some good advice on contracts. He told me what to look for in the contracts and when someone's trying to take advantage. He even sat on the phone with me all night doing it. He even spoke to some people to put them in their place, you know, about certain contracts that were given to me. But that, you know, that is the only thing he's taught me about the industry.
That
helped me to go forward by myself. He may not have taught me everything. I had to learn all the rest on my own because unfortunately my grandmother passed away.
When?
She passed away when I was...
How old were you?
I was then... 10 or 11
four
years.
Four years after that.
Yes. So when Tito, you know, gave me this advice about, you know, the contracts and stuff like that, and I saw the way he negotiated and told and spoke to people, you know, in the contractual and the negotiation process, I learned that. I picked that up and he said, you got to always remember that. Now, once again, He may not have taught me everything, but I feel that that
really
this thing
important
about the contracts that he taught me was one of the most important things.
Yep. That's the most important thing, because as you, any artist starting young, have no idea of what is written in contract. They are just looking for work and just getting their music and stuff out. So once with years, they start to, okay, this happened with me. Okay, they try to do this with me. And this happened because I've been interviewing a lot of music artists, and they told me, like, initially the years, people like music label tried to, you know, use them more often, and they later on tried to like, they figured out, okay, this is not the thing that was needed, and this is something that they took from me and I have no access to. So I guess that's a really valuable thing that will stay to you till your last breath, like, you know, in your musical career. So it's great to hear. I now would like to know more about your mother. How was she? Like the whole thing. Please tell her to all the audience about who your mother was and how she treated you. How she
My mother came to this country when she was 19 years old, and she loved entertainment. She is not a great singer. She's not a great dancer. She just likes to have fun. She's a very kind woman.
Like North America or.
She is from South America.
Okay.
And I am the first American-born child in her family.
Cool.
So I grew up learning their dialect. I grew up speaking their dialect. I grew up eating the foods.
Okay.
You know? I grew up learning her customs and her ways, because she doesn't know anything other than that.
Oh. Okay, awesome. So how were your, how was your relationship with your mother?
Beautiful. Like my mom, she wasn't a very strict mother. I was her, I'm her youngest child and only daughter. She has two children. I'm the youngest and I'm the only girl, and I got spoiled. You know, she gave me, she gave me gold rings, gold bracelets as a baby.
Wow.
Yeah, she dressed me up. She, you know, she, and then there was at one point she really did not have the money to do much for me and my brother, you know, and we didn't. There was one point where we could not get what the other kids had. But at first growing up, she had it made, you know, and we had everything. And I went, I saw my mother go through ups and downs, and I just decided to, you know, sometimes things happen in your life. God is telling you something, and you have to understand the message.
Yeah.
You understand? My mother, I love her. She meant well, but she, being that she's a foreigner, there was a lot that she also did not know. My mom got her first child when she was 16. Yes.
16.
Yes. Wow. She, I'm her last child. She had me when she was 25 years old.
Oh.
Her father had passed away when she was 12. And she has nothing but sisters. She has no brothers. My grandma had no boys. She is the second of four sisters. And you know, she was taught, her, she loves culinary arts. She's very, very good with interior design and with color and with cooking. I learned how to cook from my mom. I learned how to make things from scratch from my mom.
God, it's good to hear. It's good to hear. Now, I know this is a really sensitive topic for you. I've heard the reports that you, like from the news articles I researched on Google, you don't want to talk on this. But for you know, you'd like to share more detail on and put light on this thought is like your relation with Michael Jackson's family. And what's the status now?
You cannot fix broken people.
Yeah,
that's what I would say. You know, everyone can knows and everyone can see that I've done absolutely nothing to them. The only thing that I've asked is that I wanted a better relationship with my father, and I wanted him to be in my life at one point. And because he saw me rising or getting recognition from the music industry, it made him feel jealous, because he's a, you know, a famous person, and he's older now, and he's not getting publicity and or the things that he used to have when he was younger in the business. So here I am coming up. And his son said it. Oh, she's getting more interviews than us, and she's getting more. They were completely jealous, and they didn't hide it. So they decided to ruin my reputation. They decided to do things to really hurt me so that I would not pursue my destiny, nor would he help me. So with something like that, I realized that my father and the rest of his family have some sort of issue. And there is some sort of issue with not just with me, but within themselves, because how why would you be so harsh to do that? You have to be very harsh to do a thing like that. Now, I want it to be made known. Michael Jackson never treated me like that. Never, ever, ever. Okay. Michael, if you notice, he did not stay around the family too much.
Yeah.
And for the same reasons I'm not, because of their behavior. Now, I don't want to talk too negatively about them, but I have nothing nice to say. I wasn't treated nicely. I would love to say something nice, but they're not giving me an opportunity to say anything nice. So it's very hard and difficult. My relationship with my father has been strained. I've tried to repair it, and I got slapped in my face for making an attempt to repair it. So as it stands now, I'm by myself still doing my career. And honestly, when I was in the news and doing what I needed to do, I got there because of myself, not him.
Good. And yeah, you told in the reports that you don't have to do any kind of publicity or any kind of, you know, article and tell people to prove your DNA. Is it really your DNA, your blood matches? You don't have to do that. You know what it is, and you don't have to, you know, tell people that, okay, she's that person, she's the daughter, she's related to family. You know that, and yeah, you decided not to go in that way. You know, you don't need that kind of attention.
Right.
You just needed support.
What and this is basically coming from the family. I'm trying to promote me as an artist and show you my talent. Okay. And they keep trying to press whether I'm related to them or not. They're trying to devaluate me by saying I'm not their family. They don't want you to focus on my talent, because that is what they are jealous of. They want you to focus on something negative about me, and they want you to completely disrespect me. So, or make me look like I'm a joke when I'm not. Mm-hmm. And these articles saying where I said, yeah, I don't need to prove myself, because that is not what I'm about. And that's not what this is about. This is about me, Tanae Jackson, as an artist. I need you to listen to what I've done. I worked very hard. I worked way too hard for people to turn around and care about what my father's family has to say about me so negatively.
Good. I knew that, you know, for you, I've researched you on Google. I read a lot of articles, saw your podcast on SoundCloud with a lot of, and 10 years back, your history goes 10 years back, you know, where you were very actively working.
More than
2013. 10.
Yeah, that's about 10 years back. You're right.
I
was doing it before that.
I know that. It's just when I researched about you on Google and all that thing, I got articles from 10 years back and news articles, press releases, all those things from 10 years back. I saw it in the morning. I just read the article also. So that's where I thought, like, this is really sensitive. I don't know if she'd like to talk on it, because once I came to know about that DNA part and all that thing, I thought, like, I just want to know if she's open, then only I want to talk. Thank you for sharing it, and thank you for expressing your heart. I got it. You want to make yourself as an independent artist your footprints. And yeah, God is with you. If you're right, there's nothing stopping you. No one can just say and stop you. You will get people in this industry who will, you know, pull you up and put you in the position that you deserve. So there's no one just by the names. If they are saying, no one can pull you off if you're good and if you're right. So yeah, that's the one thing.
Thank you.
And it's going to happen.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. Now you play different roles. You are just not a singer. You produce the video. You create it. And you also write. You're also a songwriter, stylist, video director. Now all this thing, is there any process of doing one step at a time, or you do it combined? How is your work process and how you manage all those things? Is there any systematic process, or is it just you go with the flow?
I go with the flow. I have no process, because when you're shooting a video or putting together a project, anything can happen. And you should know, because look what happened in the beginning of this interview.
Well, this is normal, you know, for me. Every interview.
It didn't really quite go as planned.
Yep. It happens with me all the time.
It's right. But this, when you're dealing with entertainment electricity and all that, this happens. It's very unpredictable. So me putting together a project and having different talents, there is no systematic process to it at all. It's unpredictable. It's 100% unpredictable.
Yeah. So it's like very artistic, like electricity, what we can say. Once it is on you, it drives you to that project, completely go all in with it. And then once the energy is gone, you can just relax and you can just take a deep breath and you can just jump on to other thing. But you got it. You go with the flow. There's no like 1, 2, 3, 4 steps for you. Just right. Go all in. Let's do it. Get it done. And then yeah, relax, sleep. That's mm-hmm. the thing with you. Good. I love this energy. Now, here's the thing. What drives you today in 2023, Tanay Jackson? What drives you? What makes you go, like, get up and go to work? What makes you do things properly, rightly, connect with people? And what's the thing that keeps you awake at 1:35 a.m. in the morning? This is morning time. What's the one thing that drives you today at this moment?
Okay, number one, I'm a performer. We don't wake up in the morning. Performers are always up at night.
Oh, wow. This is new. I just started. This is first time.
Right now, I can call Drake. I can call Chris Brown. Wow. They're all up. All of them are up right now.
What are you saying?
Yes. No, performers don't really wake up early in the morning unless they have an interview that's very early and they have to get up early in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's like the nightclub. People who go to the nightclubs, they're going to come home and sleep and wake up late because that's what we do, music and party.
Okay. This is a completely different lifestyle.
What drives me, I'm going to be honest, when my father and his family treated me the way that they did publicly, I kind of lost my desire to go ahead with my craft. Okay. Then we went and I did my video and my song. And then we went into COVID and everybody had to stay inside.
Yeah. 2020.
When the entire world went through COVID and we all had to stay inside, I started honing my acting skills on TikTok and doing skits.
Wow. That's good.
Yes. So I did not give up entertaining, but music I kind of fell back on because of the way I felt, and I was just doing a lot of thinking and regrouping, but what was so good about it, the timing, you see, life is about time and space.
Yeah.
So the timing that they did that to me right after, everybody had to be in, no one could have performed. So even though they tried to stop me from my career,
everybody
else had to stop.
Yeah.
And I said, God is a wonderful man. He certainly is. And when I did that, I regrouped and I thought about it. And then I had, I got into some personal stuff. There's a pregnancy that's happening.
Okay. Oh, yeah. When? Are you pregnant?
I don't want to tell. I don't want to tell right now.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
No, I'm going to reveal it at some point.
Okay. Take your time. No.
Yeah. So that happened and that made me.
You were in a relationship.
Huh?
You are in the relationship.
I don't
know. Yeah, you can. I can. I heard your boyfriend right there.
God. No, you didn't.
you were talking to him. Now I get it. Now
what are you talking about? I'm not saying anything about it.
Okay.
But anyway, that took place and that made me step away from music. Yeah. Mr. Pharrell Williams, place. If you know about him, Pharrell Williams, he had called me when COVID was starting to lift and they were allowing entertainers to perform again. He contacted me and he said, Tanay, are you still doing music? Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. And I said, but I don't have anything right now. I just need this peace of mind. Because when we were in COVID, I had peace of mind. I was never more at peace and I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
So now fast forward to now, 2023, I'm up on my game and I'm ready to start again. And there's been so many things that have popped up. Did you know? And I just posted it. Did you know? And I think I sent it to you.
I guess.
There was a song that was sent to me to write to and perform. And I decided not to take the song. And the producer ended up getting Frank Ocean to write the song. Then Mario heard it and he became the artist to sing that song. Then Nicki Minaj was the rapper on the song. And unfortunately, yeah. the song did not make it very, very big.
But yeah, you told me that.
And a beautiful That's video. But I was almost the artist for that. And it is called Somebody Else by Mario.
You got a lot of patience with you. That's what is one thing that is keeping you, you know, awake. And you're still there. You are still on the projects and you still show up. Showing up is really important. When the hope is lost, there is no hope. You can't see anything, but you still show up. That's really important thing. And that's what one thing I believe in. So you got it. Now we jump on. Music often has the power to evoke strong emotion. Is there any particular song in your childhood, in your growing up days, that is still with you, stuck with you, that motivated you, you know, that, hey, this is me, or this is my song, this is whole my thing? Anything that you can recall?
Not one particular song. Remember, I am a music artist, so I hear many different sounds, many different beats. There's no particular song that drives me to that inspires me. Like I said, God is the one that's pushing me. No song is doing it.
Oh yeah.
But I can tell you that
any songs close to your heart? Any kind of song, any kind of music, any kind of artist?
I like songs that stimulate the heart. So that would be music with about love. That would be music that has gentle sound waves.
Okay.
Okay. But no particular song.
Got it. No problem. I just want to know what was the, is there anything, you know, we kind of have artist as inspiration, music as one thing that keeps you, hey, this is one, this kind of thing I'd like to do. This is the one thing I'd like to be like. So that's what I was just, thank you for sharing it. God is the only, God is the only thing that is keeping you awake, driving you, and only the one thing that is, you know, helping you out at this moment.
Got it. Yep.
Yeah, now, I came to know about, you know, 6-year-old singing, the stage going crazy, grandmother supporting you, but 4 years down the line, your grandmother passes away. I guess she had cancer. Your mother saw your song, but your family opposed you from, you know, becoming what you are capable of. There was some connection that your father could have helped you, you know, become a better person as an artist, to reach a good level as an artist in your life. But that didn't happen. There was some kind of jealousy, some kind of factors that didn't match up, and that pulled you down, you know. You could have been at much better position from where you are. So there were a lot of setbacks in your life, starting on from the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 15, 20. So how do you deal with setbacks? What kind of setbacks were the most that affected you, and how you pulled back yourself?
Well, I'm going to tell you how I deal with setbacks. What I know about the way my life went, the universe is telling me that I'm a leader. I'm a fighter. So I have to fight those things and do it on my own. It's nothing that my father could really help me with. Yes, he's an entertainer of a famous family and stuff like that. But he, you know, and yes, he could have helped me. But look what I did on my own.
Yeah.
So therefore, whatever the universe was telling me and pushing me to do, I listened. So really, there was not much he could do for me, because what God put in me, I used it. And that is the way it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to have his help. So I'm not going to cry and oh, he didn't help me, he didn't this. He gave me the most important thing, which was to teach me about the contracts. And I needed to take that and go along my way. Even though I would get bumps and bruises, even though people may have or will or would have taken advantage of me, I have to deal with it. This is a horrible, crazy, tough business. And you're not going to survive if you don't have tough skin. And I'm a tough lady. And one thing, that's probably one of the main things that kept me surviving in this industry. So the way I deal with setbacks is to keep pushing forward, of course, with the strength of God, along with my strength, and with the knowledge that I was meant to be this type of person that's supposed to fight for her own.
God, completely. I understand that. The thought, and yeah, it's good to hear. Thank you for sharing that particular thing. And now we jump on about your next video, Fabulous, which is released. Tell me, what was the process, how you got it done, how you gathered people to do it, how the whole thing happened?
The makeup artist So this is what I had on set. I had a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. I had dancers from my gym too. But
gym.
I had dancers from my gym, and okay. I rented out a studio and we practiced. Mm-hmm. I rented out all the things you see, all the places that we're dancing and I'm doing. I rented everything out. It was my own money. Wow. From my own pocket. I got no loan. I got no advance money from a label. I did everything on my own as far as financing and funding. Mm-hmm. Here's a really surprising story. So the guy that I hired to staff for the video, may God rest his soul, he was murdered. But yeah, we'll get into that another time. He staffed a crew, people... We call the camera crew, mm-hmm. and it was a husband and wife camera crew.
Okay.
And I didn't know that they were my ex next door neighbors when I first moved into New York City. So the girl came in and she was talking to me, and you know they brought their baby. He was running around, and she was like, "You know what, you know what, Tanae, you seem familiar." I was like, "That's weird." And then she was like, "Did you ever live on such and such place?" And I said,
okay.
"Yes." And then she goes, "I lived next door to you."
Great.
I said, "What?" I was like, what do you mean? And she said, "Yeah, don't you remember me? I'm Siesta." I said, "You gotta be kidding me, girl." Mm-hmm. I said, "Really?" So automatically we reconnected.
Yeah, and reconnected.
And she shot a beautiful, her and her husband used industry quality cameras for me because they shoot videos for commercials.
Yeah,
for networks.
It's good quality.
Yeah, high quality.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, Lil Uzi, who was a very famous rapper, they shot his videos with the same camera, same editing and everything. So as far as the costumes were concerned, I didn't send you a video of that, but as you see, there's a mask that lights up.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. It is a white thing something, right?
Yes.
That's cool. Really awesome.
Yes, I built that mask on my own in my room. I stayed up all night. I got no sleep. And some people watching this, they may be wondering, why did I go through all that? But at the end of the day, no one wanted to work with me after my father had disowned me. Mm-hmm. And so I had no choice but to, you know, do some of these things, buy it and put it together. Yeah. I bought my own costumes. I dressed the dancers. Mm-hmm. And I just put it together with the camera crew and the makeup artist. That was it.
God, wow, awesome. And this is the period where your father disowned you and the whole thing of you're not their part. I guess that was the period, I guess, where you did all this stuff, where you were just fighting back and you're proving yourself. You caught the talent. You don't need anyone to do this thing. That was the whole thing. Thank you for sharing. Lovely to hear it. And I don't know how that guy who you hired as videographer got murdered.
Would you like me to tell you?
Look, whenever I interview, someone is dying. Someone is dying in every interview. Someone is dead. I'm not ready for this. But somewhere down the line, I keep on hearing. So yeah, you can share it. No problem.
Okay. So the guy, my God, I don't even remember his name right now. But he was very popular in Brooklyn, New York. He did some projects for BET. And he was a tall Jamaican boy who the whole neighborhood knew him. The whole neighborhood knew him. He grew up in Flatbush, Brooklyn, from the time he was a child to then he was 40-something years old. And everyone knew him for shooting videos and doing media. And I hired him. And what I did not know is that he was also a drunk. Yeah. So when I came to pay him to staff my video and do all this, he asked me to meet him at the bar. And this was a bar that he frequently went to, and he was always smelling like liquor. And he even tried to hold my video away from me as ransom and not want to give me my video to try to get more money out of me. It didn't work. It did not work because apparently him trying to do that to me, he's done it to other people. So after I went back to the girl and her husband who shot the video, since I knew where they lived because they were my ex next door neighbors. I went up to their house and I explained to them what happened. I said he signed a contract that I gave him. So the footage is actually mine. It does not belong to you and it doesn't belong to him. Now, by law, if you take your phone or your camera and you shoot a video of someone, that footage is yours.
Yeah.
Okay. If you shoot a video of me, Tanae Jackson, that footage you must get my permission for because I am a public figure.
I am
trademarked.
Yes.
That's true. Different. So I explained that to them and she said, if you show me the contract and you show me the text that you had between him, we will give you your video. And I did. And she sent me to a young man named Kenny who edits the videos that you see from all these rappers, these famous people like Drake and stuff like that. Yeah. And Kenny edited my video for me very nicely. Shout out to Kenny. And next thing I knew, as soon as the video was finished and I was about to release it, I just get word that this man was shot dead. And it was on the news.
Oh.
Yeah. And they showed the store that they said someone came in and shot him in the chest three times. Damn. And he was gone. And I looked on social media. Everyone was talking about it. And they even went to the area in Brooklyn, New York, where he grew up. And they would put lighting panels and stuff like that for him. They said, Tanae, are you going to go? I said, I will not go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for his family. And I'm sorry for him. But this man got shot. What he did to me, he probably did to someone else.
Someone else. Yeah.
Person. And I said, I said, I will mourn for him, you know, personally, but I'm not going. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So after that happened, I tried to release Fabulous, but then COVID happened and everything had to shut down. So now I'm presenting Fabulous back to my fans and back to the public. And hopefully, you know, I hope I get better success.
Yeah, you are going to get it. And I'm more videos are loading, not just Fabulous. More videos in coming years are loading where you are going to do much, much better than what you did in Fabulous. You're going to get much good budget and, you know, labels and all kind of people are going to gather.
Bless.
Yeah, I can see the energy that you got and I can see the dedication that you have for your work. So, yeah, it's going to happen. Now we jump on your current project. You're working with Sherwin Excel, the guy who connected us. Sherwin is a very good friend of mine and he told me, he messaged me like, she is interested. You call me, message me. Sherwin's, the movie that you're working, can you tell me about the movie and your character, the part? What's going on in that?
Well, Sherwin actually casted me for this movie. It's a movie depicting the year 1979. Mm-hmm. And it's about Long Island and the events that happened in Long Island with a skating ring, a roller skating ring. I play Angela Davis, the Black Panther revolutionary. Really? And at first, it wasn't like that. At first, I was just a Black Panther named Strawberry. But when they dressed me up and I got on camera, everybody, including my fans, they kept coming by and was like, wait, are you Angela Davis or somebody? And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Why not? So then I started saying I was Angela Davis and I told the director and he was like, wait a minute, all these people want you to be Angela Davis, so then you're Angela Davis.
Wow, that's cool. That's a good story. Like, once you dressed up, you look different.
By the way, it will be doing a premiere. They will be premiering the movie in November, and it will be released in 2024 next year.
Got it. I guess I will be the one who will be interviewing a lot of the people from the cast in coming months also. So you are just one of them, and it's good to interview you. To know you guys are in great energy, and I can see that on Sherwin's Facebook and Instagram. He's continuously sharing that, so yeah, got it. Now here we jump on. I guess we got more covered on your setbacks, but here's one thing: how you deal with negative feedback when no artist want to do bad on the stage or in front of camera or throughout the process. It's just the thing that once people don't connect with you or people think that this is not the thing that they would like to see or watch, then they are just not in good mood and they just put out some bad stuff or they just swear or they just, you know, give tough feedback. How do you deal with that?
I don't care about a lot of what people say because a lot of things that people say don't really have fact behind it. A lot of things that people say are coming from people that don't really know me. So why would it matter? Then, you know, some people, they just sit behind the computer and they're just trolls. They're just internet trolls and they just look to insult and give you negative comments because they feel like they can. Some people just do things because they feel like they can and they won't get in trouble for it because they're behind this computer and you cannot see them. So, you know, this is a person of a wicked mind and bad blood. Or probably a person of insecurity. And there are a lot of people sitting at home on their computers who are insecure and they see someone that maybe, oh, well, how did she get that? Or how did she have this fame or get this way? And why don't I have it? You don't have it because you're sitting behind a computer and you're not working, doing what I'm doing. That's how. So, you know, people, even if you're doing phenomenally well, people are going to try to have something negative to say, because unfortunately, that's how the public is. Yeah. And the way I handle it is just as I told you, I just don't care. I don't care.
That's good. That's good attitude. You just focus on your work. You can understand the moment you understand where it's coming from or how, why, and how it's happening, you become more clear with the thought like, okay, that's it. I got it. This is not for me. I'll just focus on my work and try to do better next time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they are just out of jealousy or just out of why she has it and why I don't. That's it. Got it. Now here's the thing. What are your future plans, future goals in terms of music or in music field and in movies or upcoming movies? What are you planning, you know, in next 4 or 5 years or in coming time?
When it comes to my future goals, it's like this: your past predicts your future, and your predicts your present, and your present predicts your future.
Yeah.
And right now in the music business, things aren't that great. And I don't know. We just got out of COVID, and the music industry just got out of being still. So there's a lot of things that are different, and a lot of ways that I may have to change, and a lot of positions that I may have to turn. So I would just like to, in the future, do well. That's all I can say. Yeah. I don't know how well. I don't know, you know, because it's just unpredictable. Yeah. You want the future to go one way, and then sometimes it just goes completely different.
It's completely different. Like, we can see the first 15 minutes of ours.
Of course. So this question is something that only, like I said, the universe and God can know. I don't know. But I can tell you that I just wish all the best for me, and I'm going to try my best to make my future a successful one, like, you know, like anybody else would want.
Yeah, yeah. So what I can see from you is you will be working, and you would like to work in mainstream industry. You want to do good amount of projects, and where, you know, your music helps people, your music heals people. At the same time, it makes you reach to the global audience, and you want to work like on a bigger scale, and you want to work with bigger production houses in big projects, and that's where you think like, okay, I just want to work, and I don't know what will happen, but one thing I know that I will be working, and I will be working more passionately.
Well, it's funny you say that, because Chinese astrology says that I am the horse, and the horse constantly works. And the horse never stops working. They're always running and working, according to Chinese astrology. I don't, hard work is something that turns me on. I love putting in the effort. I love working hard and seeing great results. But what I can say is that I don't wish to be working so hard all my life. I want to take time for my own personal life, or, you know, kids, and, you know, to go out to a nice restaurant, you know, hang out with friends.
Spend time with family.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So
You want to mix it, like, you know, just calm down.
Yes, but I don't...
A mix of both.
Yes, if I constantly work like a horse from the time I started working all the way till I die, that's not fun.
Got it. This is one thing, like, you want to work, but at the same time, you want to have a good family time. You want good me time. You want to spend time with your husband, then your kid, Yeah. I'm completely sorry. Like, in future, like, whenever that happens, with your loved ones, what I can frame it. With your loved ones. That's one time. You want to me time with your loved ones. You want to do that. At the same time, you want to work. Got it. All good. And, I guess we got all things covered. Any last message, any final advice to, you know, people like you who are musicians starting out, looking for advice from one who has gone through all those stuff, still working and still working dedicatedly. Everything is on time, waking up at 2 a.m. in the morning. Like, they're up there ready 2 a.m. in the morning to do work. How the energy drives you. They're looking for someone who can tell them what's good, what's bad, what should they focus on, what should they not focus on. So what kind of advice you'd like to put out from you as an one who is in the business and is working, and you would like to share something to the younger ones? What would that be?
Like I said earlier in the interview, this business, not just music, entertainment, period, it's very cutthroat, and you need to have tough skin. Yes, your creativity and your talent is key, mm-hmm. but you need to have tough skin. You're going to encounter a lot of things that are going to be harsh. There's going to be a lot of decisions you're going to have to make that are going to be hard. There's going to be times you're going to have to turn your back on maybe family and friends just so that your career can do what it needs to do for you. I would advise people, have tough skin. Know, make sure that you know that this is the business for you. You understand? Because you can easily get caught up and go and go in a bad path. There are many yeah. A-list entertainers right now who started off simple, normal people, and right now they're either on drugs or they're like completely different people. So you can't you're gonna have to have tough skin. You know, you're gonna have to have tough skin and make the proper decisions. Not only creatively, but business-wise. That's another thing. I don't care what part of the entertainment world you're in, you must have the business sense as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Tanay, for this wonderful piece of advice. It's really good to hear from you. This was the last part of the interview. This was kind of very roller coaster journey for us. We started off and then I completely forgot. But one thing is, I was looking to introduce you, but things happen and I forgot to introduce. I was running out of time. So I thought, why don't I start from a childhood journey? And thank you for being so on time. You were busy. I guess you just popped into your house. 5 minutes, you were opening your laptop and you're showing up. I really admire that. I really love that kind of attitude towards your work. Thank you for staying awake. 2 a.m. I guess it's normal for you. It's not normal yes. for me. And I really appreciate that you made time. You were ready to do the interview the next day. I did a lot of them. So I thought, okay, I want to do it properly when people come from New York. I want to do it properly, manage time to, you know, match it to Indian Standard Time. You want to do the next day. I thought, okay, we'll do it within a couple of days. And you agreed to do Thursday, 12:30 a.m. And yeah, that's it. This was really, you know, to know about your journey, the attitude that you have for you, yourself, your working as a working woman, independent artist. This is really inspiring me, you know, to incoming time. So firstly, I really want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to present myself to your audience.
Okay, great. And the other thing now here is, Tanay will be a part of a historical fantasy fiction story series where she will be doing the first episode. The story is still in the construction when we are doing the interview, but it will be there. And so don't forget to listen. I will be linking the episode below whenever it is out. And you can just check on it. She will be doing the first episode. She will be introducing the whole series. So first episode of that historical fiction audio series will be done by Tanay Jackson. And I hope you catch on. Make sure you go and check the description. Connect with Tanay Jackson. All social media links, everything that she has done till now will be mentioned in the links. So make sure you go and check the show description. And yeah, this is me, Ajay Tambe, the host and producer of Create Your Story Podcast. Now I am signing off.